Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Christian Experience. I'm your host, J.D., and Mr. J.D., don't say what's up to the people, man.
What's up, people? What's up, Doc? I'm in the building, man. What's going on?
All right. I already know what it is, man. So listen, unless you are driving, please bow your heads. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord, first of all, giving you all praise, honor, and glory, saying thank you, Father God, just for the freedom to do your will. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to do this show, and we pray, Father, that your will be done. We give you all praise right now, and we thank you. Be in control, Father, and just let your will be done. We thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen. What's up, man? How you feel?
Hey, what's going on, man? I feel good. I'm coming down from a busy weekend, but
okay.
But I feel good, man. You treat me good over here. How are you treating you over there?
Good. I'm good, man. You know, I feel like being honest with the people today, man. I almost ran a rerun today, because it was one of those days earlier, but actually got excited to do the show. I'm glad to be on the air right now live with the people. So thank y'all for everybody who's rocking with us right now. I feel pretty good. Yeah, I feel pretty good, man. I stopped over at Dairy Queen, not that I need it, but... You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to them. You know, they kind of boost me a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't mad at the $5 lunch. And, ready to rock today. So, what's going on, man? What's going on with you? What's popping out there, right? Anything going on? A little dead right now?
There's always something going on. It was just one story that I caught my eye. That I thought that was funny, but yet sad at the same time. Sad in the sense of just a shame in the world we live in. But there was a hearse at a Catholic church in downtown Buffalo and they took the casket inside where the priest, I guess, presided over the mass. And, they were comforting the grieving family and all that good stuff. And they come outside, and the hearse was gone.
What?
Somebody stole the hearse back right in front of the church. Somebody stole the hearse right in front of the church. If you're in the area, you might know who's that.
Ring. That's sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Who does that? Wow. Okay.
It's a crazy world we live in, man. Crazy world.
Yes, it is, sir. That's nuts.
That was that one story. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news, of course. They're still dealing with the whole Confederate flag dispute and all of that. It was comical, but yet sad at the same time.
That's crazy. Whoever's out there stealing the hearses, man, you need to stop. You need to stop before you be the next one inside of one. That's not cool.
Indeed.
All right. Well, listen, man. speaking of crazy world. I wish I had more time. Part of the reason I want to postpone the show is I want to have more time to get a little more feedback. And that's my bad, guys, that I haven't put this out there to y'all the way that I really wanted to. But we may revisit it. We may revisit it live. So, you can show up to one of the live shows and discuss this. But we today's topic is called The Power of the Tongue. And we ask the question, do words have power, or are they only as strong as we make them? And I asked this question, and I said speaking of crazy world, because, you know, a lot of people believe that we speak things into, you know, into this, into existence. And I would assume that, you know, part of the reason for this crazy world is because of, you know, the way that we say things, you know, the way we speak. Sometimes we're not, you know, we're not very careful about the things that we say. For example, we say, hey, this is a crazy world. So we speak that, and then, you know, and I'm asking, I guess I'm throwing the question out there, you know, by us speaking that, is that making the world more crazy, or is the world just crazy? You know what I'm saying? Like, do our words, have, you know what I'm saying? Like, do our words have that much power, or does it become a crazy world for us because we speak that? And, you know, I just want to kind of ask your opinion, man. You know, like, do words have power in your mind? Do words have power in themselves? Or,
you know, it's funny that you use that example about the phrase, you know, it's a crazy world we live in. Because I don't know if I necessarily agree with that as an example, because it's stated as you know, current events, like that, with that's what's going on. It's like, you know, my sneakers are busted, but you know, I had a hole in my sneakers. So, you know, I'm not speaking that into existence. I have a hole in my sneaker. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like it is what it is. You know, now if my sneakers were fine and I was saying, you know, that there's a hole in my sneakers, or, you know, there's going to be a hole in my sneakers, then I think that, you know, that sort of goes along with, you know, where you're going with that. But
right.
You know, I do think that words themselves. Actually, I mean, you gave me an A and a B option. I was kind of hoping for a C. You know, that
okay.
C where they go, you know, all of the above. But
okay.
because I do believe that it takes both. That it's both. I believe that words themselves hold weight. Words that are spoken. Words that are spoken in, you know, out loud in the air hold weight. I think they have power themselves, and you know, and then you know, on the other side, I believe that we can give power to, you know, to words spoken, or take away power to words that are spoken. So.
Okay.
I mean, if I was any clearer in there, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I understand. I'm gonna recap, but you know what? I'm actually open, because what you're saying right now, I was kind of one sided, but I'm kind of open to really hear more of your perspective on words just having power of themselves. Now, but I just wanted to go back to the example you were saying that, you know, you were that saying, okay, this is a crazy world we live in, and we're stating a fact, but. The reason why I say that, and this is part of why I love philosophy, is because when you think about it, right, you say this is a crazy world as if it was a fact, right? And I actually agree with that, you know, but there may be some people who feel like it's not a crazy world. Depending on their experience in the world, they may feel like the world is a wonderful place to live. You know what I'm saying? So by you saying, oh, this is a crazy world, I believe that you're giving power to the fact that it's a crazy world to you. So to you, the world will be crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you believe. I don't think that, you know.
You're saying it's perspective in that example.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think in that example, you know, I think it's perspective. Now, as far as, you know, okay, I have a hole in my shoe. You know what I'm saying? And that is an actual fact that you have a hole in your shoe. I mean, okay, cool. You're just making a statement. But again, you know what I mean? Like, I think that words have power when we give them power. I think words, the things that we speak, we put power behind them. Well, I think that the hearer of those words gives it power. You know what I'm saying? And I constantly use the N-word as a great example of that. You know what I'm saying? I think that people give meaning. You know what I'm saying? Give extra meaning, I should say, because the word has a meaning. But I think people take it differently. And I think that a lot of people, you know, take offense to it because of what they feel is behind it. But that's the power that they give behind it. I don't think that it doesn't hold the same power with everyone. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really think the word itself holds the power. I think it's what we give it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. It's what we give it. Okay. All right. I follow you. I hear what you're saying, and I do partially agree to that.
Okay.
I believe that, you know, with our faith behind the word, with our faith, as we speak whatever we're speaking, those words power.
Right. That's what I feel.
What is that?
I said yes. That's what I feel.
But also with the devil being named the prince of the power of the air, I believe that
okay.
Word. I think that the words when they're spoken out, he can which is why I think it's good to pray in the unknown language. And it's good to pray in tongues because then it confuses the enemy. He doesn't know what you. But if you put it out there, then that gives him room to do what he can do with it.
Wow, that's a good. You know, okay, I can hear that, and actually, I'm not gonna go deep into the scriptural debate because I kind of have I have an opinion about the devil not knowing, you know, and maybe you can show me that, but we'll do that off air where he doesn't know, but I don't, you know, I have yet to read that, so I'll study more on that before I comment on it, but I hear what you're saying, right? I hear what you're saying, but I think that again, all he has is the opportunity to make you believe something that was spoken. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that you could give the power to it. Because our faith, like you said, is what empowers, you know, our belief is what empowers the words that are spoken. Because if we can speak something and if we don't believe it, then it's still not going to come to pass. But if
right.
we speak something,
absolutely.
Like even Jesus said, if you speak something and you have the faith small as a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. You know what I'm saying? You can tell this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it shall be done if you don't doubt in your heart. So that, I believe, is what gives the words power. But words of themselves, I think that, you know, I think that we give words power without realizing. I think that's the trick of the enemy. Is that he's already pre-programmed us, you know what I'm saying, like unconsciously programmed us to believe, you know, to have a certain belief when certain words are spoken and to have doubt when other words are spoken. Like, and I'll give you an example, like, you know, a light example, like when you hear something, people are faster to believe something negative than they are positive, you know what I'm saying, on average. So you can tell somebody, you know what? You're not going to be able to do that. That's not going to work. And they'll believe that before they believe, oh, you know what? That's a good idea. I think that's going to work. They'll still have doubts in their mind. They may be encouraged, but it won't be like a total like, yes, I know this is going to work for the average person. Mm-hmm. But when you tell them that it's not going to work, then that doubt it almost confirms what they already, you know what I'm saying? It almost confirms the doubt they already had in their mind.
Now, my personal theory, is that the enemy is given some authority over the things here on Earth.
Right.
That it's more difficult for something positive being spoken to come to pass than something negative being spoken to come to pass.
Okay.
That's my own theory. And okay. And just, you know, and that's just based off my own life experience and listening to other folks and you know, and talking myself and whatever, and you know, it seems as though, you know, you can speak something negative and it will and even if the receiver is not easily receiving that. The negative seems to, you know, be easier, or it'll come to pass easier than the positive. And I know I'm saying that I have this different in my head. I hope I'm making sense out loud. But anyway, that's my own theory. Is that, you know, I mean, just. I'm trying to think of an example right now. It's escaping me. I'm trying to think of an example, a simple example. But it does seem to me that that when something negative is spoken, it passes over easier than something positive. You know, you can say, oh man, I ain't got no money. I don't have the money, and
mm-hmm.
and your money will slowly dissipate. And
right.
you know, but you speak a word, and I'm rich. How simple does that come to pass? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm
right.
not saying
right.
that it doesn't or it won't.
Right.
I'm just saying that it doesn't seem like it's as easy.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I think that it's because I don't think it's necessarily the words that have the power. I think it's what the power that we give it. Like, for example, see, the thing about it is that, yes, the authority that God has given the devil over the world, you know, over this world, whatever, I think he's used that to catch us early on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're already, like, programmed to be negative. We're already programmed to doubt certain things. You know what I'm saying? Already, like, early on, and I just, you know, and this my theory, you know, he uses things like cartoons and stuff like that to make it seem like, you know, at least when I was growing up, it was like all of these things were fantasy. You know what I'm saying? All of the, you know, I don't know, all these mystical characters and things like that. It was all fantasy. So for you to believe something or speak something and it come to life is like magic. You know what I'm saying? And we were taught that magic isn't real. You know? And think about it spiritually, and you look at it from that standpoint, it is real. Because you know that when you speak something and you believe it, it will come to pass. So we're taught to not believe that from the beginning. So now when you become a Christian and you change your life over, you start learning more about God and you start learning more about the spiritual lifestyle, all of the things that you were told that was fake, you know what I'm saying, or like fantasy or a child's play, you have to try to accept now that this thing is real. And that's harder. And if you notice, when people in conversation, they say, yeah, you know, we have to have faith and blah, 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 but let's talk realistically, right? And it's like, well, if God is not realistic to you, you know what I'm saying, then why are you living this lifestyle? It's hard for us to make that connection. And the devil put that there so that we could reject the positive sayings, you know, or doubt the positive sayings, because those positive sayings sound like fantasy to us, whereas the negative thing is what we're used to seeing or what we expect to happen. And so when we hear something negative, it's easier for us to give that negative thing power. And I believe that's what we do without even realizing it. You know what I'm saying? Without even realizing it. I'm broke. I don't got no money, like you said. Oh, I'm broke. Meanwhile, you're not broke. You just don't have as much money as you want to have. Mm-hmm. But you're not broke. You know what I'm saying? But we'll say that, and speak that. And like you said, we'll constantly be, you know, in the same financial situation because we keep speaking it. But then when we try but then some people, go ahead.
So I'm hearing what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And at this point, what you just said, I'm either agreeing or disagreeing. And, you know,
okay.
I'm just hearing you out.
All right.
And I'm trying to put this in perspective for myself, in my
mm-hmm.
own life. And in the things that I've said and tried to believe, or, you know, what was said and I didn't want to believe. And let me cut myself off here. 347-637-2419.
Yeah, I was going to do the same thing. Good.
Now, please interrupt us. You know, we won't be on here long. You know, give us your thoughts on here. If you're on the line, hit the number one. But anyway, I'm listening to you, and I'm trying to think of the thing that I spoke into my own life.
Uh-huh.
And you know, spoke it and believed that it was going to come to pass.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about how difficult. Now, this is why I was listening to you. So, you know,
uh-huh.
so heavily, because I'm like, well, now you have me doubting what I was feeling or doubting my, you know, my belief or not belief, but my faith in what I was trying to accomplish.
Okay.
But I'm like, you know, well, shucks. Let me think of an example here. When I said that I was going to get that job,
mm-hmm.
then I strongly believed that I was going to get that job. I dressed like I was going to get that job. When I walked in that interview, all I had on my mind was this job was mine. But I didn't get the job. So was it me not believing the positive words I was speaking, and it didn't come to light? Or was I doubting the positive words that I was speaking?
Well, you know what? I don't know, because that's a good example, because I felt that way too. And when I look back in hindsight, I was doubting. The difference, there's a difference between hope and faith. And shout out to Steve Harvey, because he had said something one time that kind of made that click to me one morning on his show. But there's a difference between hope and faith. And even the Bible makes that distinction.
Right.
And faith is the evidence of things hoped for, right? It tells us that in Hebrews 1. Faith is the evidence of things that, but most of the time when we pray for something or we ask for something, and that's what I was going to allude to when before you started with your opinion, but we hope for things, but we don't have the faith for those things. The other things are like, we confuse it. Like we say we pray and then we cross our fingers and say, oh, I hope God gives this to me. And then when he gives it to me, you know, when we actually get what we pray for, we're shocked and surprised about it. Like, yeah, if you would have got the job, for example, you might have been like, yes, thank you, Lord, woof, and have a sigh of relief, like, I got the job.
No, I know what you're saying, and I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
There is that line, yes. But I know that there has been times where I had faith in it, where I knew that God was going to give it to me, and when it happened, when he did give it to me, then it was just a simple thank you, Lord. You know, and like it was a really humble, really, you know, genuine thank you.
Right.
And that was it, and I kept it moving. So I
mm-hmm.
knew that I had, so because of that, you know, in the, like you said, hindsight, because of that,
mm-hmm.
I I knew that I had faith in the fact that, you know, the word spoken, that I, you know, that this was going to happen. Because I knew that, you know, it was in God's will. I didn't know, but I believed that
right.
it was God's will. And, you know, and I believed that he was going to line this up and make this happen. So, and it,
mm-hmm.
and it happened. So I was like, yep, that's what I thought. So, you know,
right.
thank you, and keep it moving. But there were other times when I thought that I had that same faith. Now, granted, there were times when I had that hope as well. Yes, you're right.
Right,
so,
right.
So I can totally relate to what you're saying. But there were times when I took that walk and I believed that God was going to give this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen. You know, I'm thinking now, you know, well, did I not believe?
Well, is the example that you're talking about, is this something that is, it's too late for it to happen now?
I wasn't thinking of one particular thing. I don't, you know, I mean, and who knows? I mean, is it ever too late for anything to happen as long as we're, you know, still breathing? I don't know. But,
Go ahead. Oh, you said you didn't have
no,
one particular example.
Yeah, I didn't.
This is my question. How is it that you feel like, and I know people hate to hear this, and I do too sometimes, but it's like, how do you know that he's not going to give it to you still? And my question is, and my question is, if you really had the faith that you're talking about, then they wouldn't even be doubting your voice, and you wouldn't even have mentioned the fact that he didn't give it to you, because you would know he was going to give it to you. You would just know he didn't give it to you yet. So this wouldn't even be a conversation if it wasn't hope.
So if I speak words based on my faith, then you're saying that any negative words that comes contrary to what I'm to my words, you're saying they have no effect?
No, they won't have effect if your faith is stronger. If your faith that it's going to happen is stronger than your doubt that it's not going to happen, then it's going to happen. I also make this distinction too, that there's no place in the Bible, and this is what I love about this. This is why I hung this scripture on my wall. Jesus is speaking when he's talking about this. I believe it's in Matthew 24. I think it's in other places in the gospel too, but I believe that Matthew 24 and Mark 11 or Mark. I think it's Mark 11:22 or something like that. Don't let me get the scriptures wrong. It's in Mark somewhere. Y'all look it up. That's what Google is for. Thank you. I just don't want to make no mistake. But anyway, that's why I love those scriptures. I have them hanging on my wall. And there's one that I can say, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, right? He didn't say sometimes, right? He didn't say, you know, when Jesus was talking about, you know, believing, having a faith as small as a grain of mustard seed and all that, he didn't say, sometimes I'll do it for you. He said, every time, it shall be done. He's not going to lie. God is not ever going to allow. And you know, there's nothing existing that can say, God lied to me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you might say it, but he's not going to allow anybody to have that proof. That's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. So if he said that, that means if you truly believe it, that is going to happen. Now, that's what I'm saying. The words that we give life to, the words that we give power to, you know, it's all about how much power we get. And he said, it's according to your faith. And he said that to people even when they were healed, when he was healing people, according to your faith. You know what I'm saying?
I was just gonna say
that if we really believe something and we really have the faith of something, when we're in that zone and we know it's gonna happen, then there's no doubt in our minds, you know, that it's not gonna happen. And it don't matter how long it is that the wait is for. especially, you know what I'm saying? He's not going to allow that. We give up because we say he didn't give it to me yet, so he must not, he's probably not going to give it to me. And at that point, that's when the devil starts, like, doing a dance, like, I got him. Because now you started doubting. You know what I'm saying?
Now, ask, all right. This is where I am now.
Okay.
And first off, in Mark 11:22 is Jesus responding, saying, "Have faith in God."
Right. Thank you.
But this is where I am now. I believe in what goes on here on earth, but I believe that if we totally put our faith in God, if we totally believe what we're speaking, then that overpowers any authority that the enemy may be allowed.
Exactly.
That's where
exactly.
I'm at.
And the enemy's job and what he does is he constantly, subliminally feeds doubt to us. Constantly feeds doubt to us. So that we
subliminally is right. And we don't even realize that.
Exactly. No, and that's what he does. So that when it comes time when we do hope for something, that hope never really turns into faith. It just keeps turning into hope. Every time we ask God for something, and I'm guilty of it too. Every time I pray something, it's like I'm rolling the dice and saying, "Oh God, are you going to do it for me? I hope that you do it for me." And then we try to use the cop out and say, "Well, God, well, must not have been in God's will." No, it wasn't God's will. It was okay. It could have went either way. You know what I'm saying? Like, God could have gave it to you or he couldn't have gave it to you. But you decided not to believe, and so you didn't get it. And then we blame God and say, God, you didn't answer my prayer. Or we say, oh, well, it just wasn't in God's will. But, you're telling me God is not going to lie. This is someone who raises people from the dead. So you mean to tell me it's too late? It's never too late. You know what I'm saying? It's never too late for God. It's according to your faith. That's why so many people ain't being raised from the dead. You know what I'm saying? I know I don't have the faith enough to raise nobody from the dead, or else my father would be here right now. You know what I'm saying? If I had that faith, but I don't. And I can admit that. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's not that God won't. He already promised, he already promised it that he would do that for us. You know what I'm saying? And if we are abiding in him, like he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, one, you're not even going to ask for something that's outside of his will, because he's going to let you know when you're asking him for it that this is not my will for you. And you, as a loyal child to him, is going to accept that and say, okay, I want what you want for me, God, right? But God still wants us to ask him stuff. He don't want us to always ask him something timid. You know, think about your kids. If your kids is constantly asking you for something, you know, and every time they ask you for something, they acting all timid, like scared to death, like you ain't going to give it to them. And you're like, I just gave you everything that you asked me for. Like, what would make you think that I would hold anything good from you? You know what I'm saying? I love you. So why are you acting so timid to ask me a question? You know what I'm saying? Unless you know it's something that's not good for you, already, before you even ask me. But if you just want to ask me something, there's nothing wrong. You okay? You want an ice cream cone. Why are you acting all timid to ask me for an ice cream cone? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how it is. Like, we hope, and when we ask for stuff, and then when we don't get it, we're wondering why. And then the devil jumps in and tries to decrease our faith even more. Look, God ain't listening to you. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to give you that. What makes you think that he didn't give you? He didn't give you the job you asked for. Why he gonna give you a new house? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would he give you a new car? Why is he gonna allow you to have a baby? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then we start believing that stuff, and we ask God. So anyway, I'm just saying, when we have to have more authority. We don't ask God things with authority. And we have the privilege We have the privilege and the honor of being able to ask God things in Jesus' name, which is the most powerful name that you can ask. That's the biggest clout you could ask for. Jesus' name. He's going to give it to you.
Right.
But we don't even use that authority because we don't even really believe in the authority in Jesus' name, which is sad to say. I'm ashamed to even say that out loud. You know what I'm saying? Honestly.
Right.
But we got to start. But we got to believe in what we say. You know what I'm saying? Have faith.
Absolutely. And you, twice you brought up the scripture where it says, if you believe in me and, oh, I'm sorry, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want and shall be done.
Right.
Abide, I was looking it up, and abide, to remain, to continue, to stay, or to put up with, to stand. And, you know, and that, you know, and it's really, you know, so that, you know, that stuff doesn't happen in 5, 10, 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? To remain, you know, you know, to continue. That, you know, you abide in me. And my words abide in you. So, you know, it's just not right now when you're asking for something. Not right now when you want this job. You know what I'm saying? This is an ongoing thing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so, then you can have, and I think automatically, when if you're, you know, once you're abiding in him and once you're, once his word is abiding in you, once it's with you, then you don't have, then it turns automatically in from hope to faith. Like when you speak the words, you know, that car is going to be mine. That car right there, yeah, I'm going to get that car. And, you're not even concerned. At that point, you're not even concerned about when because you know that you want that car, and you know that you're going to ask God for that car, and then you're going to walk away from it. And so you're going to go on with your life because you know that you're abiding in him, that you know that his word is abiding in you. This is, you know, this is something that you do on a daily basis. So, you know, when I say that that's the car that I want, that's the car that he's going to give me.
Exactly. And you know what? The funny thing about it is, right, is that it's a lot of things that come with abiding in God, right? Abiding is that you're going to learn more. So you're going to actually learn more of what to ask for because your priorities are going to change.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And he's not going to have even less of a problem.
Something it's not going to be something off the wall that where God's going to look at you like, what?
What are you asking for?
You're on the same page.
Exactly. And God knows what to do to help you adjust your prayer because we don't have the time to even know what to pray for. So we might pray for something, and God might say, you know what, that's not really what you want. You know, let me take you through a few things so that you can really see what you really want. So we say, we pray for this, and then God send me, you know, I prayed for this house in the suburbs, and then God made me get an apartment in the ghetto. I don't understand. And then, you know, after a year or two, you might be like, you know something, maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I do want to stick around because I have this ministry here, and I'll be closer to the people that I'm ministering to, whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? But I wanted to give the example when you was talking about God, you know, abiding in him and him, you know, giving you what you want and all of that. And I was going to say, anybody who ever had, you know, to have a cosign on something or somebody's approval or whatever, it's like, imagine you, the person that you call for the cosign, they got to call into that dealership. So you want this new BMW or this new Benz. And, you know, the owner of the place, they know the person who's cosigning because they got that kind of clout. So that person calls the dealership and says, you know what? You know, my man is over there right now. You know, let him go ahead and get the car. I got that. You know, and every time we ask God for something, that's pretty much what he's doing. We calling up God and saying, I need you to co-sign this. God go ahead and makes and works it out and says, go ahead and let him get that. Now, how much more confident would you be if God was standing right there in the deal, or not God, but the person who was co-signing was standing right there in the dealership with you? how much more confident would you be? Because you're talking to the guy at the dealership and you're saying, you know, I'm trying to make this phone call. And while they're on the phone, you're hoping, like, oh, please help everything work out when they hang up the phone. Let me walk out of here with the car. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if that person was standing right next to you, you know what I'm saying, who has a $1 billion check banking account or whatever.
Your confidence level will be through the roof.
Exactly. You're going to be like, yep, yeah, I want that one right there. Please go ahead and wrap that for me now. Thanks. Get the keys. Yeah. Take it through the spin cycle wash real quick and let me ride off with that. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? And if you're abiding in God, that's how you're going to feel all the time, because you're going to feel that close to God all the time. You're going to feel like he's right there next to you. So when you're asking or you're doing something, you're going to do it with authority. You're going to do it with confidence because you're going to feel like he's right there and not off in the distance, you know, when you're making a phone call. And that's the trick with abiding. You know what I'm saying? For all y'all who can follow my example. Anyway. But,
No, that was a great example. That was a great example, because it just because I know on numerous occasions I feel like I'm making that phone call, and you know, I'm making that phone call to God, and you know, hey, could you please come down here and talk to these people, because I'm trying to get this, you know, this thing or whatever. When you know, if I had it right, you know, I would be walking in with God. And, you know, and say, yeah, I'm going to need that right there. You know,
exactly.
And, you know, I got my cosigner with me, so I'm good. I didn't have to worry about that.
Right.
I like that example. That was good.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, that's how it goes. And a lot, and I can speak for myself. Like, sometimes there's something simple as a parking space. You know what I mean? Like, I tell everybody, my mom, God has this special relationship with my mom where she gets parking anywhere. It don't matter. She could be in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, and a parking spot will open up for her. And that's why I'd be like, every time I'm with her, and it looks like we ain't going to find no parking, I'm like, we going to find a space. It'd be right in the front. That's somewhere real close. And I always look over at her. I'd be like, thank you for being here with me, because I would probably got this space if you was here. You know what I'm saying? Like, something that simple, where he always blesses her with that, because he knows that that's something that's important to her, you know?
Right.
So with me, I haven't even got the faith that I'm gonna get a parking spot. I be rolling around with hope, like, God, please let me get the parking spot. You know what I'm saying? And it'll bless me sometimes, but I still be rolling around with hope, like, please let me find me a parking spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, we got work to do, man. We got work to do, y'all.
Yeah.
We got work
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely.
So anyway, thank y'all for listening, man. I don't know, Jay, you got anything else you want to add to it, man?
No, man, I think that was fulfilling for me anyway. I'm going to go back and listen to this myself, but that was fulfilling to me.
That's what's up.
I thank God for the show.
Yeah, me too, man. I thank God for being able to have the privilege to speak and, you know, listen. And also, anybody who's listening, y'all can always hit us up at christianexperience.com. That's Christian Experience without the E, ChristianExperience.com, and holler at us or hit us on our Gmail, ChristianExperience@gmail.com. If you want us to come out and speak to your youth or speak to we do workshops for adults and youth teens, and, you know, just talk to them about a relationship, having a relationship, you know, with God. We discuss different things. You know, if you guys would love us to come out, then just hit us up and let us know where you are. We are in the D.C. Metro and New York Metro areas, but we will travel outside of that if necessary. So just let us know, you know, or hit us up, 270-864-6552, and just, you know, holler at us and inquire. So we thank you all for your support, and that's it, man. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's good. I'm good.
Cool.
So we'll see you guys next week. And just do us a favor, if you enjoyed the show, you know, somebody you know might enjoy it too, so pass it on.
No doubt. You will be blessed for it. And I'm speaking that out loud. God, thank you. In the name of Jesus, please bless anyone who passes on the message of this show. We appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. So you will be blessed. And I'm trying to walk with that with authority and not hope, but faith.
Right.
That you will be blessed. So you believe that you will be blessed also. All right. Thank y'all for listening. We love y'all. This has been another episode of Christian Experience. And, yeah, I guess we'll holler at you. Oh, sorry. Shout out once again to Dionysia. Because, you know, she's doing her thing right now in school, so she's been a little bit busy. But, you know, we just commend her for doing her thing, and we pray for her also.
So,
all right?
Did it.